Property News. I'm Heather Anderson. Let's get started on our top story. This is Ryan Pineda. Ryan is CEO of Pineda.co. He's a pretty well-known guy in rental property investing and house flips and all the real estate investing things. You can check his website out at ryanpineda.com. And let's see what he has to say.
Rentals don't cash flow like they used to. Here's a new strategy instead. When you think about passive income in real estate, the first thing that comes to your mind is probably rental properties. If you buy enough of these, you're going to be able to cash flow and live off of the passive income. Well, unfortunately, that's not really the case. The typical home right now might cost you $500,000, and it's only renting for $3,000 a month. Once you factor in your mortgage and everything else, you would actually lose money trying to rent out that property. So how should you go about creating passive income in real estate today? Well, I can tell you the answer is not Airbnb. It's not having room shares. It's not assisted living. There's actually a far easier process that I call the Cashflow 2.0 method. This method has massive returns with minimal time and minimal risk. In fact, you can do this anywhere across the country with just a laptop and Wi-Fi. And I'm gonna show you exactly how it's done so you can start making cash flow the new way. So if you wanna learn how to get cash flow in today's market, click the link below and join me on the free masterclass and I'll show you how.
All right, what do you think it is? What do you think it is? I think it's either a tax strategy move, cash flow 2.0, or investing in a syndication. Let's read some of his comments from his audience here. John Mitchell says, as a real estate investor for over 20 years, rental income has done nothing but go up. Your first statement does not make any sense. It has a proven track record and keeps getting better, especially if you buy right. And then old Jesse Jett replied to old John Mitchell with some wise words. One of the first things I've learned about real estate investors or coaches is that if you put three in a room, two will agree, and the third one is wrong, and that is accurate. It's because everybody has a different opinion. And the big point of Rental Property News is helping you discern who you are as an investor and what your goals are and what you're willing and able to do. So I mentioned the word syndication earlier. Maybe that's Ryan Pineda's Cashflow 2.0 model. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. If you want to find out, you'll have to take his course. But if you do a syndication, you see, a syndication is pooling funds for capital multifamily investment, okay? Or it could be apartments, or it could be rental property, or it could be hotels, or it could be hospitals, okay? But a bunch of people put their money together and then they buy the real estate asset. A syndication model that is pretty typical looks like this. The syndication owns the real estate. This is the investors that get the majority of the return, member one, member two, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have the management component because somebody has to manage the real estate. And so the idea is that you don't technically own the real estate. The LLC and the management owns the real estate. You're a member. You're a non-voting member. So you own shares in the thing that owns the real estate. So that is kind of like a REIT, which we'll get into here in just a minute, a real estate investment trust, but it's kind of like a stock sort of, but it's not publicly traded. It's a private investment. So speaking of LLCs and structures, let's see what old Kai Gibson has to say. He says, how to hide your LLC assets. And he garnered a lot of interest in this post.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. My.
So this is where it ends. All assets go under the LLC. Now you own nothing but control the assets. So the trust owns the holding company. The holding company owns the LLCs. So he had 813 comments on this so far. And a lot of the comments are like, how do you do this? Where is this LLC? Is this an S corp? Is this a C corp? How do you get more info? How do I set this up? What's the trust info? Do you sell this program? Do you teach us how to do this? All these comments are like, whoa, this is way over our head. Let me tell you something. This was a little over my head. I had to do a little research. So let's take a look here. What is a trust? Let's start with that. A rental property trust is a legal arrangement where ownership of a rental property is transferred to a trust rather than being held directly by an individual or entity. Okay, a trust is a legal relationship where one party, the grantor, transfers assets to another party, the trustee, to be held and managed for the benefit of the third party, the beneficiary. I always remember the word like trustee, grantee, because me is the trustee, me is the grantee. It kind of rhymes. Whenever it has an EE, that means you, essentially, if you're the owner. But a visual of this looks kind of like this diagram right here. So you have a grantor. So that would be the owner. So if I buy a piece of real estate, a rental property, I would assign it to the trust, which is just words on a contract, but there is a fiduciary of that trust, a manager of that trust. And typically it's the lawyer, legal team. It's not you. It has to be a third party fiduciary. And then you have a beneficiary. That's the receiver of the trust. And in this guy's example, I guess the beneficiary would be the LLC. Okay. Does that help explain it a little better? And then this stuff can get very wild. So, this is a deeper dive example of how trusts and LLCs and holding companies and series LLCs can work. This is something called asset layering, asset protection, burying your assets. And even, you know, this is how the wealthy do it. And even if you're not wealthy yet, you keep investing in property, you will be, and you don't need that many to do it. I say you just need about 4 to become a millionaire. And that's what I teach people how to do. That's what my goal was. But like the first comment back here on Ryan's page, remember, everybody has a different pathway of an opinion of how to get there. But this is a great tool to start learning. Do not let this overwhelm you, because it is extremely overwhelming. So just understand the basic idea of what this gentleman was saying, okay, what Kai was saying, and grow into it, okay? Start learning these words. LLC, Limited Liability Corporation. That basically just means company. And a trust. We just learned what a trust is. What is a trust? It is a legal arrangement where ownership of rental property is transferred to a trust. And remember the diagram. It's just a law firm. That's what it is. You're giving ownership of your stuff, your assets, to a third party. And it's typically a law firm, because it needs to be an intermediary, someone that's professional and someone that you trust. And that's a lawyer. And then this stuff comes later with time. Don't get overwhelmed. I call it a 10% mind shift. 10% per year can grow your mind of learning this stuff. It take you about a decade to figure this out. Not doesn't have to be, but that's what I kind of teach. All right, let's take a look at this version of Roots. Okay, this Roots company is a new company that is helping you buy fractional real estate, it looks like. Let's take a look and check it out.
So when I invest $1,000 into Roots, how do I make money?
Roots works off a quarterly cadence with our investors, and you'll see two things when the quarter flips. The first thing that you'll see is a distribution. We only distribute if we have profit, but typically and historically, we've never missed a distribution. You will see a distribution of profit, and that is profit off of rents, profits off of if we sell a home, we let all investors share in that. And the cool thing about us being classified as a REIT is 90% of profit must be paid out on an annual basis. The next thing you see is a reevaluation of what's called our net asset value. And that takes into account all of our appraised values for our properties, any new property that we purchased, any cash on hand, and any other kind of accounts receivables that we have out there. And then we subtract our debt, giving us our net asset value number. And I like to think of that as, hey, we shut the doors down tomorrow. That's what we sell the company for. That's what everybody gets. And then we just simply take that and we divide it out by the number of shares. And that gives us our new unit price. Unlike a lot of different privately held REITs where you don't necessarily know always what the value is at any certain time, Roots is tracking on a quarterly basis, giving you that new number, and that is what you would sell your unit for. So that's how you get to realize appreciation within the fund.
Okay, so what does that mean? Well, he's talking about a REIT, a real estate investment trust. And what Roots is doing is rebranding the REIT. They're disrupting the kind of old, boring, unknown, low-level REIT market for most normal people. They're modernizing it and bringing it to the public. This person thinks it's a Ponzi scheme, but he loves it. So, okay. And by the way, he mentioned a word, net asset value. What does that mean, NAV? So NAV is the value of an investment fund that's determined by subtracting liabilities from assets. Okay? And that's what he mentioned it was. It's a per share calculated for mutual fund or unit investment fund. It's a term they use, I guess, more in the stock and in shares world versus more than like in the actual, if you own a piece of rental property and you're the owner. I've never used that term in my life. The NAV represents the net value of an entity and is calculated as the total value of the entity's assets minus the total value of its liabilities. So to put it simply, what is the total cost of their real estate assets? So if they own 100 homes, 100 homes times whatever the value of those homes are, let's say average value 400, that would be, is that 4 million? 400 million? 400 million, thank you. And then minus the liabilities, let's say they owe 300 million in loans, $100 million in assets. Is that right? 10 times 4 is 4 million. Yes, that would be right. Okay, we're real here on rental property news. Not perfect. Always learning. Okay, so let's talk about this REIT that I mentioned, Real Estate Investment Trust. What is it? Okay, it means you have investors that invest in shares. They basically give the money and then they give you a share in exchange for the money like a stock. And then they go acquire capital like apartments, houses, hospitals, just like I mentioned. And then those rent out. Rent is collected. Expenses are paid. Distribution is given back to investors and profits as long as there is them. So that's what that is. It's a modern day REIT is what Roots is. They're bringing Roots direct to consumer in a marketing glossy way and bringing new life to this very old industry that is on the exchanges, the public exchanges. Okay, so you can kind of think of it like Robin Hood, sort of. They're just rebranded stock market investing and gamified it a little bit. This company is sort of doing that as well. Here's one of their
Angel, not without the brie.
Indubitably.
And it's a cute, funny one, and they're trying to explain like, hey, this is the new way to be an investor. But remember, when you're a REIT holder or a Roots holder, you don't own the asset, or even a syndicate owner. You don't own the real estate asset, which is totally fine if that's the pathway you want to go. I just want you to understand you're investing in the real estate space, but you're not owning the rental property or the real estate asset individually. Okay, you own shares of it with other investors, and you usually don't have any voting, well, almost never have any voting rights or direct access or ownership of that asset directly. Okay. And it could be a great pathway for you, but I just want you to understand what it means. Let's check out their little cute commercial.
And you are?
Oh, don't worry. I'm basically one of you now.
How did you get in here? This soiree is for fancy real estate investors only.
Okay, but I am a real estate investor.
But where's your vaguely British accent?
Yes, the accent a person gets from years of generational wealth.
I actually didn't grow up wealthy. In fact, I still rent. I rent and invest through Roots. It's the first real estate investment fund that builds wealth for investors and residents.
Do I have to rent to invest?
No. Anyone can invest through Roots for as little as $100.
Oh, so the same as the price of a gallon of milk.
No, definitely not the price of milk.
I meant human milk.
Before Roots, I was living paycheck to paycheck.
Yoink?
Come on, did you have to say yoink? And while I was struggling to get ahead, my savings account just sat there, doing nothing, gaining 0.4% interest. I could gain more interest from my cat.
Hey, Mr. Fluffhead. Hey, Mr. Fluffhead. Look, no. Come on.
I thought I had to be, like, super rich to be able to grow my own money. Or take volatile risks like investing cryptocurrency.
I lost my yacht to crypto.
Roots gives people like me the ability to participate in the real estate market, all while having a bigger impact on my wallet and the community.
I know real estate, and you won't be able to touch those returns for years. Even then, it all depends on selling and refinancing.
I mean, you probably have to wait years to withdraw your investment, but with Roots, I have liquidity options. I can withdraw part or all of my investment every 3 months. And yeah, now I say things like investment and liquidity. And since I love watching my investment grow, I'm not going to take my money out yet, but it's nice knowing I can.
Yes, I hate being told I can't do something. We'll see about that.
And I feel good about my investment knowing that Roots is looking out for the people renting their properties. People like me.
Wait, renters are people?
You're totally blowing my mind right now.
And instead of paying a security deposit, they can make an investment. And they can get rebates for simply paying their rent on time. They can gain equity and even make a profit for simply taking care of their home.
But who loses in this situation? Someone should lose for me to make money.
They're set up to build wealth for both investors and residents. Investing with Roots is a win-win situation.
Doesn't sound right.
It's true. No more slimy landlords.
No, you are not getting your deposit back. You left a fork in the drawer. Yeah, we're gonna have to remodel the whole kitchen. Yeah, I love you too, Ma.
Everybody's percentage of growth is the same, no matter how much they invest.
So with Roots, anyone can own property, even if they rent?
Exactly. You can own, I can own, and so can she, and so can he, and so can they. People across America are investing with Roots.
It aligns with everything that I want. It's a decent return, it's conservative investment, but it also helps the community.
It's let me invest in real estate without the headaches of having to manage my own property.
Roots has become my highest performing investment. This has given me the opportunity to make an impact and make money.
Well, I think it's time I upgrade this soiree to a full-blown party. Ooh, no.
Join the movement today and follow the thousands who have built wealth with Roots.
So, all right, what an interesting business model. And as you can see, they have two websites, one called investwithroots.com. That's the investor one. And if you click start investing, it takes you to their create an account page, which I have not done yet. If you look at their rent with Roots, okay, you can see the details about being a renter and being part of the community, building credit, community and respect, earning rewards. So they're saying that Roots residents can save and grow their wealth by this much over 5 years. I don't know how exactly that fully works, but that's what they're pitching. And you can look at their rental listings, which I did check out. It looks like they really only have them in Georgia is what I saw, which is where their company is located. So that makes sense. And maybe this grows. I wish them the best. I hope that model works, but we will see. Time will tell. So, and speaking of REIT, Yahoo Finance pitches a lot of things that I've seen. You know, and my question is always like, are they getting paid to promote these, you know, whatever they're pitching? Or is it just them trying to find articles, or are they real? So you'll have to discern that. I just wanted to make that comment. I don't know the answer, but I just wanted to have you think that through when you make the investments based on these quote unquote stock tips. In this example, this is saying, got $5,000 to invest. Buying this nearly 6% yielding dividend stock can turn into almost $300 of easy passive income each year. And what is a dividend stock? It means it pays you automatically, you know, based on the company profit. You're a shareholder within the company's profits. And those are called dividend payments. In this is a REIT, obviously, just like the new version of what Root is saying, even though it's a REIT, they're calling it Root. It's a rebrand of a Root, of a REIT. But, you know, it's just saying where to invest the $1,000 right now. So again, if you want to be a player in real estate, you can check the REITs out and just do your own research on these. So we will see if that makes sense or doesn't. Now let's look at this great article from Norada Real Estate Investments. Housing market predictions for the next 4 years, 2025 through 2029. What's going to happen? U.S. home price predictions. The housing market's future path remains a key question. What could the next 4 years hold for the housing market? Let's see what this is saying. Okay. So it's saying that we had a strong 2024 and national home prices grew by 5.8%. I don't know about you, but I mean, I guess they have the numbers, but to me, anecdotally, it did not feel like that. It felt like a declining market, at the very best, a flat market from 2023. I felt 2024 was a very slow year, but different markets have different outcomes and results, and maybe that's the average. Again, I don't know. You got to take this stuff with a grain of salt, my friend, because remember the comment about different opinions. So they're saying that 2025, the average forecast for home prices to increase by 3.4%. And in 2026, the prediction is similar to a 3.3% growth. I always average about 3% per year in our Dallas-Fort Worth market. So that's right in line with what I always think. But again, what do I know? This is the cumulative percent change, something that says a panel mean versus quarter four 2024. So they're saying increase of 3.4% in 2025, increase of 6.8% in 2026, increase of 10.8% in 2027, increase of 15.2% in 2028, and 19.8% in 2029. That's cumulative, so that's just each year adding up. So the total would be about 20% in the total 4 years. They're also seeing this U.S. home price scenarios by Fannie Mae, projected cumulative value changes versus year-end 2024 by panel quartile by year, okay? And then it has three categories of lines. You have the all panelists, and then you have the optimists and the pessimists. Very interesting that they diagnosed it like that. So I was reading what that means, and it says Fannie Mae Home Price Expectations Survey. Note, the optimists' figures are mean of expectations among the most optimistic quartile of survey panelists, and the pessimist figures are the mean expectations among the most pessimistic quartile of survey panelists. So I said, okay, what's the source? Because these surveys, you just have to take them with a grain of salt. You really do. You want to see who funds them, how many people were involved, what's the narrative they're trying to tell. So we'll get to that in a second here. And this whole survey created this article from Fannie Mae trying to create a narrative. Is that narrative right? Is it wrong? I don't know. We will see. What I do like is history, because that is true. And we always know history repeats itself. So let's look at some of that. The pre-bubble is what they're calling 1975 to 1999. Average annual growth was 5.1% annually. Bubble years was the year 2000 to 2006. That was a 7.7% annual return increase in appreciation. The bust, which is 2006 to 2012, prices fell by a negative 4.8% per year. And then the post-recovery bust was 2012 to 2020, which it recovered 4.5% per annual growth. So if you look at 2006 to 2020, that's 14 years, basically flat, because negative 4% plus 4.5%, that was 4 years plus 8 years. So I guess you actually had an increase, now that I think about that, because it was negative 4.8% per year on average for 4 years, six years. And then you had 8 years, 12 through 20, 8 years of increase, 4.5. So actually you were up 8% or 9%, I guess, 2 years times 4.5%. But then the COVID really came in and did an awesome thing. 2020 through 2024, 9.5% per year. Dang, that's significant. That's 40% times 4 years. So that's a lot. So let's take a look. This is a great article, by the way. If you just want to read it, it has a lot of information. The question is, how are they, what is this, like, what's the study? So I looked up the company that did the study. I also looked up this Fannie Mae Home Price Expectations Survey, HPES, which was referenced back in our survey source that we looked at, this survey source, see, HPES, Home Price Expectations Survey, Fannie Mae's Home Price Expectations Survey, HPES, produced in partnership with Pulsonomics LLC, polls over 100 housing experts across the industry. I guess that would be people like me and academia, people like Texas A&M, which we're going to get to in a second, for forecasts of national home price percentage changes in each of the coming five calendar years, with the Fannie Mae Home Price Index as a benchmark. On a quarterly basis, Fannie Mae will publish the press issue. So, okay, and then what is this company, Pulsonomics? How do they do it? So let's look them up. And it says Pulsonomics is an independent research and index product development term that leverages its experience in data analytics, opinion research, whatever that is, financial markets, and economics to deliver unique insight and market intelligence to our institutional clients, partners, and public. So opinion research, you look, I don't know what that means. The reality is nobody knows the future, okay? Nobody knows the future, but what we do know is the past. So in order to prepare for the future, we must learn from the past, Danielson. So we can look at this amazing resource called the Texas Real Estate Center, TAMU.edu. Texas A&M University has a real estate center, REC, helping Texans make best real estate decisions since 1971. There very well might be like one of those in the state in which you're looking at, but I can pull the home price index. They started recording home price and home prices since 2005, which doesn't go back a super long time ago, but at least we have some data. And this is real life data. This home price index has this, you can see this x-axis here, which has what do they call it? This is the index. So basically they're starting, it doesn't mean 100,000. It just means their baseline starts at 100. That just means zero, basically. So they're trying to show you that if it started at zero in 2005 and now it's up to 240, that means it increased 100 or 240%. Or, well, let me say that another way. It went from 100 to 240. So it's actually 1 to 2 is double plus 40 more percent. So I guess that's 140% increase, okay? More than it was worth then. So that's what that means, okay? And this shows you, if you look at the whole history, and it does it based on a quarterly analysis, it shows you each quarter what those increases and decreases in the index were. And it's a very valuable tool. But as you can see, if history dictates the future, which it does, then look at that. It's straight up and to the right. So speaking of history, what happened on this day years ago? In May 29th, 1992, a really famous movie was released, Sister Act. If you were an 80s kid or a 90s kid, you probably saw it like I did. And this movie was not expected to do as well as it did. The budget was $31 million. Sister Act was one of the most financially successful comedies of the early 1990s, grossing $231 million worldwide against a $30 million budget. What is that, about 7x? Well, that's real estate, folks. That's how it works. Sometimes your real estate assets increase 7x and you didn't expect them to. And sometimes they increase 2x or 3x. But the point is, they always go up and to the right because it's a function of time, and time value of money is what creates success for you. I hope you enjoyed our rental property news session for today. Let's see what the sisters sing and how they changed the way of the choir for our nuns.